Okay, so we're on chapter 9 of A Place of Quiet Rest, and the theme of that chapter was getting the word into you, a learning heart. So I'm just going to touch on some of the tips that were given in that chapter, but then I want to go to Psalm 121 to see how we can apply that psalm to some of the things that the tips were encouraging us to do. I love Psalm 121. It's one of my favorite psalms. So that's why I picked it. And hopefully it'll minister to you, especially for today, the day we're in. So let me just pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we are grateful for you today, Jesus, and we're thankful for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful that your word speaks to our heart. In our generation, you minister to us. Lord, you reveal yourself to us. You make us to know you through your word. Lord, and I do pray that as we take this time and look at your word tonight, that you would just do that very thing in the hearts of those that are here and the hearts of those that are listening online. Minister to them. Lord, I just pray that you would just take this vessel, Lord, and may your will be done tonight through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in chapter 9, what we saw was, it talked about when you read your word, you might want to write out portions of what you're reading in a notebook. I know what I'll do is if I'm reading a certain paragraph and if there's something in what I'm reading, I could use as a prayer to the Lord, whether praying for the nation or myself or family or the unsaved, I'll write it in a notebook and I'll use what God's word says as a prayer to him. Because sometimes we're just at a loss, you know, we're just like, what should I pray? You could pray in your prayer language, but it's powerful too when you're praying the word of God back to God, because you know you're praying his will. You are praying his will when you pray the word back to him. So you want to write as you read, if in a notebook, if something stands out to you, write that down, use it as a prayer. You could also write in your Bible. When I'm in service, and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about something, usually right by that portion of scripture that is being preached on, I'll date it. Because when I look back at it, I realize, man, that was the day the Lord spoke this very thing to me, what is being shared. So I'll write dates in my Bible next to different passages. So don't be afraid to write in your Bible, or even if he's speaking something specific to you through that passage, just write. Because again, you can look back at it like a year later, 2 years later, and say, wow, yeah, I remember that. I was going through something, and I remember when you spoke that to me, and how it encouraged me, how it encouraged my faith. So also, she talked about recording insights into the Word of God, and that was, if you remember the first, I think it was the first class we had, different homework assignments that were given to you, different questions you could ask. As you're reading the word, what does this passage say to me? What does it mean? What should I do? If you notice some of the homework that you've gotten along the way, we'll have questions along those lines so we can really let God's word speak. If you remember the previous Bible studies we've done, who wrote it? What happened? When was it written? When did it happen? Or will it yet happen? Why was it written? How did it happen? Is it done? So again, you want to look at the 5 W's and the H when you're studying a portion of scripture. Look for cross references to that text from the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you do that, you'll start seeing it ties in together. Record your responses to the Word of God. Again, this is in the chapter. Record your responses to the Word of God, the milestones in your spiritual pilgrimage, so you can look back and say, wow, God, you're faithful. you brought me through that time. I didn't think I would be able to make it. It seemed so overwhelming to me. I felt like I can't do this. And yet I see you brought me through. You carried me. You ministered to me through it. And here I am now, new season, new trials, right? Also, is there a sin to forsake, a promise to keep, examples to follow, commandments to obey, stumbling blocks, or errors to avoid? If you remember, that was the SPEC acronym. So again, this is just a review. We've done a lot of this already in previous classes we've had together, but I just wanted to touch on that again, because we're looking at the Word, reading the Word, and letting the Word get into you so that we can learn what God wants to teach us through His Word, which we need is instruction. Charles Spurgeon said, if you wish to know God, you must know His Word. Because that's how He reveals Himself to us, through His Word. Right? He does, perfectly. And in Psalm 121 is called a song of ascent, and it describes God's protection over His people. And pilgrims that were on their way to Jerusalem would sing these songs on the way there to celebrate different religious activities that they were going to attend. As they journeyed through the wilderness and through the hill country, on their way to Jerusalem, they would face all kinds of dangers. And I just wanted to show you the terrain there as they traveled. Pretty hilly, pretty rocky, pretty dry, pretty barren. This is us hiking up to Engedi. But I just want to give you a picture of what it would be like as they traveled to Jerusalem. Most of the landscape is very rocky that way. This is coming down, and that's the Dead Sea there. So with this in mind, I want to show you the Judean wilderness too. Very barren, dry. And they would journey through there to go to Jerusalem. And I remember we traveled through here on bus. I think it was like 2 hours. I dozed off. Could have been 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get to Jerusalem. But eventually we went from here going up, 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 up. And all of a sudden there is Jerusalem. And I can't tell you how we all responded in the bus when we got up and saw the holy city. It was awesome. So as they journeyed through the wilderness and through the hill country on their way to Jerusalem, they could face all kinds of dangers. They could stumble and hurt themselves. As you can see, it's a very rocky terrain there. Or they can suffer a sunstroke during the day. It's very dry and arid climate. Or they can get a really bad cold at night because it gets very cold at night in the desert. They could be attacked and beaten by thieves that would be hiding in the crevices, knowing that they had gifts on them to bring to the temple, to offer to the Lord. So there would be thieves hiding out, waiting for them. But this was a song of ascent. So as they went through the journey, they would sing these different psalms that were songs of ascent. And that's what they were. It just, you notice, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you think about coming from that wilderness and just trekking through it and then looking up, you know, as you go up that mountain to get to Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, that they had the mindset that we're not alone. God's with us. He's with us. And verse 3 and 4 says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7 and 8, The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And if you remember from our previous studies, Lord, when it's all capitals, it means Jehovah. So they would sing this song as they were going in faith, believing God would be this to them. As they journeyed, they would look above the hills that stood before them to see the God who created all things, the heavens and the earth. And what you see there, that God's creation, as they were journeying, served as a reminder that God is all powerful, full of wisdom and glory. And we're reminded, just as they were reminded, that we have nothing to fear. As we journey through this wilderness, on our way to our destination, which is the Father's house, to be with Him, we don't have to fear the unknown in this wilderness called life. We really don't have to. And if you think about what was Sunday service, the theme of Sunday service, right? Because the last class we talked about just being mindful of what the theme is for that service when we come. And it was don't fear death. Do not fear. And just going through this, it's like, Lord, you obviously want to get this into us, not to fear death. Because we're on a journey, right? They were on a journey. They were praying this by faith, singing it by faith, but they didn't know if they would make it, really, with the dangers that were there in the wilderness. The traveler would see Jerusalem afar off, situated on the mountain afar off, where they can see God's dwelling place. And the more they journeyed, they were getting closer and closer and closer to it. And as I was meditating on that, it just reminded me of the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, right? Talks about that. That they saw the city, right? Whose builder, whose maker, the founder is God. It's God. So what we see, just from those two verses, that as they were journeying, the Father's creation, His loving creation was before them and encouraged their faith. It encouraged their faith to keep persevering, because if they kept persevering, if they kept going, they were gonna make it. They were gonna make it. In verse 3 and 4, what we see is our loving Father's eyes are upon us, just like it was upon them. When it says, He will not allow your foot to be moved, He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The word move there means to slip and slide, to stagger, to be shaken. And as I showed you the pictures, you see how easy, if you would fall or slide, and some of those rocks were very, very slippery, because at some points it was wet and it was super, super slippery and very narrow pathways. So the reality that, man, I could fall and break something here, you know? And there were testimonies of people that came on tours and they would fall and break something there because it's that hilly. But again, they would go out in faith, believing, okay, God, you're not going to allow my foot to be moved, to slip, to slide, to stagger, to be shaken. You're going to keep me through this journey. You're going to keep me. And if I fall, I'm going to get back up.
If I fall, we need one another to help them to get back up, right? Because if I would have fell on that terrain, I was gonna need help to get back up. It's not easy trying to get up on rocky, loose, hilly. I was showing Allison more pictures I have from Israel. It's very, very hilly. So we need to remind ourselves when we feel like our foot's gonna give out that our Father's eye is upon us and he's there to help us. Psalm 139, which describes God as being omnipresent. And that's what this portion of scripture is talking about, God's omnipresence. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light both are alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am with you. Verses 1 through 17. Then in verses 23 and 24, the psalmist says, in light of that, in light of those realities, in light of those truths, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So what we see there is so many wonderful attributes about who God is, because again, Lord is written in all big letters throughout that psalm. And it describes God as being omnipresent. He knows everything. He sees everything where we are. Whether we're on a dangerous ground, rocky ground, or whether we're on smooth sailing ground, he sees and he knows. And Jonah proves that, right? Because Jonah was in the belly of the whale. God saw him there. He saw him there. David was hiding in the caves and in Gedi. I want to show you in Gedi, one of the caves. Hopefully I have that here. Those little holes are the caves where David hid. You go in there, they're humongous in there. But yeah, God saw him there. God sees you here. That should encourage us. Doesn't matter where we are. God sees us. He sees where we are. He knows where we are. So why are we anxious? Why are we worried? I think we keep going back to that, right? The the word keep in this portion of scripture, this verses, means to guard and protect, and it's used three times. It's a picture of a shepherd guarding his sheep. It means to take good care of. God will take good care of us. This was the word, this word was first used in the first time, for the first time in the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam to tend the garden, to keep it. So we can be encouraged that while we're asleep, whatever we're doing, God watches over us, because he's not slumbering or sleeping. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't wink an eye, doze off. He continually watches over us. That's a comfort. It really is a comfort. And we need to comfort ourselves with these words. We really do. Verses 5 and 6. Our loving Father's presence is besides us. That's what we see. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And again, they were singing this and reciting this. We don't know how hot it got out there. Maybe they felt like they were going to pass out. You know, hot, tired. Think about when we get hot, tired, and just like... They were quoting God's word, singing it, despite what they were experiencing or feeling. Well, we can be encouraged that our keeper's on the throne looking down on us, right? Interceding for us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The scriptures tell us he's omnipresent. Yeah, but what if? How many of you struggle with, yeah, but what if? One honest person. I want to read you this poem that is really cool. I heard it not too long ago by a pastor I was listening to. It's the poem is called What If, and it's by Shel Silverstein. It's a children's poem, and it goes like this. Last night while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I'm dumb in school? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if no one likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow tall? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents divorce? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems swell, and then the night times, what if, strikes again. Anyone here can relate to it? I'll share something with you. I don't know what happened about 3 weeks ago now, something bit me. Lately, I keep getting bit by something. And my foot got really weird. I mean, I have pictures because I've been taking pictures of it. I didn't know what kind of bite it was. But I said, let me take pictures, because every day was evolving into something else. So last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago, I showed Dr. Adam. He said, that looks like a brown recluse bite you got. So I'm like, what did you just say? Now we're talking about what ifs, right? So he tells me, he says, yeah, well, keep using the steroid cream, but we might have to get that cut out and you need a skin graft. And that's all I'm hearing. I'm like, what? So now I'm going into service, because of course I showed him this before service. Wrong thing to do. And I'm like, what if What if? So then I shared with someone else a couple of days later. I said, yeah, look at my foot. Look what happened. So she was like, man, that don't look too good. So she shared her testimony that she got bit by a spider and she was in the hospital for 2 weeks, I believe it was. So I'm saying, great. So here I am. What if? So then I showed Adam my foot again and he said, So I'm like, well, what does that mean? Am my foot gonna fall off? Am I gonna get? I said, all I wanna know is I don't have a flesh eating disease, because that's what my what if. What if it starts eating my foot off? Or that I don't have little babies living in there, because it just so happened my sister-in-law had told me, yeah, you know, sometimes you get bit by a bug and they plant eggs in there and you have little babies growing in there and they gotta cut them out. This is what people would tell me over this thing over my foot. So yesterday we go somewhere and Phyllis, we were with Phyllis and Anthony all day, and I show Phyllis, I said, Phyllis, look at my foot. Oh, that looks terrible. I said, hey, it looks good now. You want to see what it looked like before? And I started showing her all the pictures. She was like, oh my gosh. So we all have these what if things that goes on in our head. I'm saying to Adam when he last looked at it, I said, just tell me my foot's not going to fall off. That's all I want to know. He said, no, it looks good. It's getting better. It looks good. He said, because you're darker, it's your skin pigmentation is going to be darker. He said, but it's going in the right direction. So I was like, okay. And of course, I mail pictures to my doctor. He hasn't gotten back to me. He always gets back to me. I'm afraid he might be out on COVID or something, because it's not like him not to get back to me. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you want me to trust you. You want me to trust you. But we all have our what-if stories, right? Yeah, I know we do. Yeah. But God wants us to trust him. We're going to struggle with the what-ifs. But we have to remind ourselves, Lord, you're my keeper. You'll keep me in the midst of it. You're my shade at my right hand. I got to trust you that you're with me in whatever it is I'm facing or am gonna face. The blessing that's come out of this is I think my Achilles is finally healed. I told Jeff, I think my Achilles healed. I don't feel it like all inflamed. It's not hurting anymore. So I'm excited about that. But you know, something can happen that devastates us. We all get devastated by different things, right? But it could turn out to be a blessing. And that's when the what ifs come. We have to say to ourselves, but God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, who are called to love him. So even though what ifs might manifest themselves, it still can be a blessing down at the end of the story, you know, when the story's told. We got to hold on to this. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Right? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we gotta hold on to that, no matter what. We gotta hold on to that truth. Day and night, our Father's with us to shelter us from what can potentially harm us, like he was with his people as they journeyed through the wilderness, going to the Jerusalem. But we have to just be careful that we don't take the scripture and interpret it to mean that we'll never face difficulty, or we'll never face danger, or physical or emotional pain. I remember when last year the virus first hit, there were some Christian women telling me, oh, God won't let us get that. He won't let us die from that. And I said, really? What do you tell people, Christians, that have died from cancer, that have died from other things, diseases? What do you tell them? And you know what? 90% of the church wound up getting the virus. Thank God no one died from it. But, like I keep telling people now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if we were to die, well, don't we want to be with Jesus? Why are we holding on to this life that seems to get crazier and crazier every day? So we have to be careful we don't take this as to mean we're never going to go through anything bad. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world, and we live in sin-cursed bodies. And we're groaning, right? We're groaning for the redemption of our bodies, Romans 8 tells us. I don't know about you, but it just seems like the groaning is increasing. It's increasing. Supposed to increase if we've been born again. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the body is sown in corruption and it's raised in incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immorality. So we got to keep a balance here. David had many life experiences that brought him heartache, that were life-threatening, right? But the Lord enabled him to turn all those tragedies into beautiful songs that encourage us today in the Psalms. If he never went through the things that he suffered and went through, his words wouldn't encourage us as we go through hard things and struggle. So we can be encouraged by David's testimony, as I showed you, the caves he was hiding in and in Gedi for his life. God saw him. God was with him. Our Father's presence provides all we need in those times. He's Emmanuel, right? God with us. So we don't have to fear sudden attacks that come in the day or the night. We don't have to fear the what ifs. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God, and God is with us. He's Emmanuel. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he covers us under the shadow of his wing. And I don't know if you've seen that. I should have pulled up another picture I had of a mother hen, and her wings were around her chicks, protecting them. And he covers us. He's with us. Nehemiah 9, verse 12, he was recounting to the children of Israel just the things he wanted them to remember, just like God's word tells us to remember, right? So that's why writing down in your Bible is a good way to remember, you know, dating it like what we started this class. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. So again, we see God's covering and faithfulness to them. In Nehemiah 9:21, it says, for 40 years, God sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever think about that? 40 years. 40 years. In what we just looked at, those pictures, God kept them. God kept them. Hebrews 13, verse 5, we read that verse and it says, I will never forsake you, nor will I never leave you. But that word, when it's translated, it means I will never, never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Let that encourage your heart. You're not alone. You're not alone. Verse 7 and 8, what we see is our loving Father care is all around us. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and you coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And the phrase going out and coming in refers to the daily activities of life. Since our Father's care is all around us at all times, we don't have to fear death, nor today, nor tomorrow, nor the future. Because what is Psalm 23 says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with me. Romans 8, again, I read this already, 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? We see there, tribulation can't separate us, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, not even the sword. Death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height or depth. No created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And the Orthodox Jews take Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 9, and 11, verse 20, literally, where it says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the posts, the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. And they put up, it's called a mezuzah on the door. It's a small metal box which contains a scripture in there, which reminds them to meditate on God's word when they come in and when they go out. We have one when we were there and we have it on our door. You just put it right there. So each time they would leave the house, they would touch the box reverently. Each time they go in and out of the house as a reminder that the Father was with them, that he cares for their every need. So it serves as a little reminder to them. So again, this is a great psalm to meditate on, especially if the what ifs come and attack you at night, to meditate on the psalm, just reciting in the bed over and over before the Lord. I have nothing to fear because God is with me. Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord has constantly been true. Do not doubt. If some remarkable trial should lay way you between here and heaven, you will find extraordinary deliverance from him who has been your helper. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. That's from Hebrews 13. Verse 5 and 6. So to close out this class, I want to play a song. I think I have to turn the recording off because the song is copyrighted. But I'll just mention, just for the recording, the song I'm going to play, The God of Angels Army, in case you want to listen to it. And I just want you to listen to the words as I play it.